Thank you for joining me today and today's podcast. We're going to call this the Christophanies in the Old Testament. Now you're thinking, what is a Christophany? Well, here's our scripture reading. We'll start out with that first. It's John chapter 8, verse 58, and it says this, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Now, did Jesus exist in the Old Testament? This is what Christophany is about. It's about Christ, as it says in the very word itself. Perhaps his most surprising assertion was given in a response to the Jews in John 8. Amid a heated debate over his identity, Jesus told them, I existed before Abraham was even born. Now that throws everybody off. This declaration is especially significant given that the phrase, I am, was used as a title for God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. In John 13, 19, Jesus again applies the divine name, I am, to himself. And he says this, I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. The words echo God's statements in Exodus 3:14. As we mentioned, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4, who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. So we have the three terminologies. It's this Christophanies, Christ in the Old Testament, the Angelophanies, or the appearance of angels, and the Theophanies. This term is used to represent the glory of the Lord and reflects a theophany, as in Exodus 24, verses 16 through 18. The pillar of the cloud has a similar function in Exodus 33, verse 9. A frequent introduction for Theophanies may be seen in the words that is said, quote, the Lord came down, unquote, as in Genesis 11, 5, Exodus 34, 5, Numbers 11, 25, and Numbers 12, verse 5. I believe that Jesus Christ is the center figure of the Bible and that he was present in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Jesus was the promised Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament, and that the entire Old Testament points to his coming. One of the ways that Jesus is present in the Old Testament is through what is known as Christophanies. These are appearances of Jesus Christ in various forms throughout the Old Testament. For example, in Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 and verse 13, three men visited Abraham, and it is believed by some that one of these men was Jesus Christ. Another way that Jesus is present in the Old Testament is through prophecies that speak of his coming. For example, in Isaiah 53:5, it says that he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. These prophecies refer to Jesus and that they point to his coming as the Savior of the world. In addition to Christophanies and prophecies, Jesus is present in the Old Testament through various types and shadows. For example, the sacrificial system outlined in the book of Leviticus is seen as a foreshadowing of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The life of Joseph is another that seems to model the life of Christ. Jesus referred to another event in Israel's history as a foreshadowing of his crucifixion. In the wilderness, the people followed Moses had sinned, and God sent serpents among them to bite them. The people were dying, and the appeal to Moses for help. God told Moses to make this bronze serpent and place it on a pole, and all those who looked at it would be healed. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 19. Jesus alluded to this incident in John 3, verses 14 through 15. It says, Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. See the comparison? The Old Testament points to Jesus through various types of people, such as Moses, who is seen as a type of Christ. Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, just as Jesus leads his people out of bondage to sin. Knowing that a Christophany is a pre-incarnated appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, here are some examples of Christophanies in the Old Testament. Number one, as I previously stated in Genesis chapter 18, three men visited Abraham, and one of them is believed to be Jesus Christ. Abraham refers to him as, quote, my Lord, and Adonai, which is the name of God. And in Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 through 18, the angel of the Lord appears to Abraham. Here's a second example. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 through 32, Jacob wrestles with a man until daybreak. The man touches Jacob's hip and dislocates it, but Jacob refuses to let go until this man blesses him. The man then tells Jacob that his name will now be Israel, which means one who struggles with God. It is believed that this man was Jesus Christ. Angels don't rename people, but the Lord does. Now, here's the third example. In Exodus 3, verses 1 through 6, the burning bush appears to Moses, and God speaks to him from the bush. Some scholars, in fact, many scholars, believe that the angel of the Lord who appeared in the bush was Jesus Christ. Here's the fourth one. In Joshua 5, verses 13 through 15, Joshua encounters a man with a drawn sword who identifies himself as a commander of the Lord's army. Joshua intentionally falls down and worships him, and the man tells him to take off his sandals because he is standing on holy ground. Now, some scholars believe that this man was Jesus Christ. I do too, because in fact, we find scriptures that says angels say, don't bow down to me, because they're not the Holy One. And here, it's being allowed. In fact, he's told to take off his sandals. Here's a fifth example. In Daniel 3, verse 24 through 25, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace for refusing to worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar ordered. But they are not consumed by the fire. And then the fourth figure appears in the furnace with them, who is described as a, quote, like a son of the gods, unquote. Now, many scholars believe that this fourth figure was Jesus Christ. Another great example is the angel of the Lord appears to Hagar in Genesis 16, verses 7 through 14. Here's the seventh one that I think is really important that people have a lot of questions about. In the Bible, Melchizedek is considered a mysterious figure who is mentioned in Genesis chapter 14 and in Psalms 110. He is described as a king of Salem, which later became Jerusalem, and a priest of a God Most High. He blesses Abraham, and Abraham gives him a tenth of everything he has. Well, there's no place in the Bible that anyone tithes to another king, but is to God the Father. So this is why it's really believed this was Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Melchizedek is mentioned again in the book of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews uses Melchizedek as an example to show that Jesus Christ is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. The author argues that this makes Jesus superior to the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament. Hebrews 5, verses 5 through 6 says this, so also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you, as he says also in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 3 says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham appointed a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of this name, king of righteousness, And then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, and he has neither beginning of the days or the end of his life. But resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. That's straight out of the Word of God. Some scholars believe that Melchizedek may have been a Christophany or a pre-incarnated appearance of Jesus Christ, which I believe is accurate. They point to the fact that Melchizedek is described as a priest of God Most High, and that he blesses Abraham in a way that only God can. They also point to the fact that the author of Hebrews compares Jesus to Melchizedek, suggesting that there is a deeper connection between the two. However, not all scholars believe that Melchizedek was a Christophany. Some believe that he has a historical figure who was simply used as an example of the book of Hebrews to make a theological point about Jesus Christ. While some scholars believe that Melchizedek was a Christophany, it is not a universally accepted belief. These are just a few examples of Christophanies in the Old Testament. There are many more instances where Jesus Christ is believed to have appeared in some form or another. There is not a definitive list of scholars who believe that Melchizedek is a Christophany, as this is a matter of interpretation and not a universally accepted belief. However, some notable scholars who have suggested that the possibility of Melchizedek being a Christophany include F.F. Bruce. Bruce was a respected biblical scholar and a theologian who wrote extensively on the New Testament and the books of Hebrews in particular. In his commentary on Hebrews, he suggests that Melchizedek may have been a pre-incarnated appearance of Christ. John MacArthur. MacArthur is a prominent pastor and the author who has written extensively on the Bible and theology. In his sermon series on Hebrews, he suggests that Melchizedek may have been a Christophany based on the similarity between Melchizedek and Christ as a high priest. James Kaufman. Kaufman was a respected biblical commentator who wrote a commentary on the book of Hebrews. In his commentary, he suggests that Melchizedek may have been a pre-incarnated appearance of Christ. John Gill. He was an 18th century theologian and biblical scholar who wrote a commentary on the entire Bible. In his commentary on Hebrews, he suggested that Melchizedek may have been a Christophany based on his eternal priesthood and his resemblance of Christ as a priest. In summary, I believe that Jesus is present in the Old Testament in various ways, including through Christophanies, prophecies, types and shadows, and types of people. I think that the entire Old Testament points to Jesus as the promised Messiah and Savior for the world from the beginning to the end of the Bible. Even when we take the sacraments, Christ is ever so present. I have to quote this. GotQuestion.com research says it well. The Son of God is not just in the New Testament. Jesus is in the Old Testament too. Jesus is God's promised Messiah. From the virgin birth in Bethlehem, Isaiah 7:14, Luke 1:35, and Micah 5:2, through the sojourn to Egypt, Hosea 11:1, Matthew 2, verses 14 through 15, to his ministry of healing and hope, Genesis 3:15, 1 John 3:8, and all the way through his resurrection, Psalms 16, verses 9 through 11, Acts 2, verse 31, Jesus Christ is the same of the both Old and New Testaments. It could be said that Jesus is the reason for the Bible. He is the living Word. The entire Bible is a beacon that points us to God's offer of reconciliation, the hope of forgiveness, and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The best way I can say it is that Jesus is everywhere. Remember this, Jesus isn't in the way, He is the way. We need to step up. A shoe is just a shoe until someone steps into it. You be the one that steps into the shoes of Christ and walks his life. Have a blessed day.